Hey guys, this is Cole Weicher.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
This is Jochen Graf.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem and it's complicated. So if you can't stand, I just can't ignore the signs. Hear them now, it's so loud it hurts. Hear me growl, hear me howl.
And there's no one final touch to be had.
Everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. If you're listening to us live on the air, we very much appreciate it because we haven't been live on the air in several weeks. You are listening to the Unused Substitutes Show. We are your green and gold gospel, your best source for year-round rowdies coverage, coming at you live on Radio St. Pete Online, part of the Beautiful Game Network. We are presented in part by our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves and Taco Bus. My name is Stephen Cundiff. I've only got one co-host with me tonight. The other one happens to be basically in the air, flying, you know, traveling. Matthew Cox is with me tonight. Matt, how are you doing, sir?
In all fairness, in the interest of being correct, Dan might still be sitting on the runway. He might not actually be traveling just yet.
I mean, with the way that traveling goes, that's probably not wrong.
Just hopefully he doesn't end up having to land the plane like the one I read about at Palm Beach International the other day.
Yes. That's a great story, by the way. Congratulations to like everybody involved on getting that plane on the ground safely.
I just wish that guy had been on a plane I was on several decades ago, also landing at Palm Beach International, because we had to do the like slide down the inflatable slides into the emergency foam.
Yes. Landing.
Good times.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I wish I could do that.
I didn't get on the plane again for about 13 years.
Oh, jeez. I've been like, okay, get me on the next one. Let's go.
To be fair, it was my very first plane flight, and I was 5 years old.
Oh, jeez. Now, see, that's just traumatizing.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. That's all. That's hilariously awful, by the way. That's the right way to describe that.
Then that next plane was a trip from West Palm to Tampa that I don't want to say it was flying very low, but at one point, I'm not kidding, the pilot said, if you look out the window and look up, you can see Lake Okeechobee.
Wow, all right, that's interesting.
He was being a little ironic, but we were pretty low to the ground at that point.
Nice.
We haven't done a live show in a while, and I haven't done one in a while. However, I am a white male, therefore podcasting is basically second nature.
I mean, yes. For those of you that hadn't seen it posted and are listening to us tonight live. On Sunday, Dan and I did a pretty mammoth 2 hour long show that went up this on Monday, recapping all like six games that the Rowdies had played since the last time we were on the air live. As a recap, the last time we were on the air live, the joke coming out of Sunday's show was CJ Cochran was still the starting goalkeeper of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. It's been a while. If you want to catch our thoughts on everything that's happened thus far in all of those individual games, kind of where we are in the season at the moment, definitely listen to that show. We break down all the couple of controversial moments in all the games, kind of what our expectations were for. Absolutely 100% worth your time. If you want to get, especially since we haven't had a chance to do that in forever, we've had a lot of Wednesday night games, we've had issues with, you know, stuff breaking and then people getting sick, so we can't have like the new stuff in place. And then, oh man, let me tell you, all I can say is if it went wrong, the answer is yes. And that's why it's been so long that you haven't heard us. But we are here. We are live. And that is in part and almost entirely because of you guys, the listeners. And tonight and at the moment, we're going to highlight, as we always do, our Patreon supporters. Because tonight's Patreon executive producer is Adam Martin, our friend who's watching a lot of Charlotte FC games right now in MLS. We forgive him because he lives there. But Adam, thank you so much, as always, to being a longtime supporter of us, of the Rowdies, of the show. You're our stats expert forever, and we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to tweet us during the show, if you want to tweet us during the week, no question about it, Twitter's the best way to reach us. Send us messages. Send us tweets. If you want to argue with us about something that you think we're dead wrong on, please, please, interactions. At Unused Subs Pod is the best place to go. That is the number one location. That's the mothership of it all. All right. So, Matt, you were not able to join us on Sunday. And like I said, we recapped basically our points of view of what's been going on so far. But there were things we missed. There were topics of conversation that we missed. I'm not going to ask you, obviously, we're not going to recap everything again. But tell me a couple of highlights or lowlights that stuck out to you in the, you know, even if you didn't see all the matches. Some of the highlights, maybe lowlights from the last few weeks here, to kind of get an idea of where you're approaching this third way mark of the season.
Yeah. Honestly, the two big things, just the entire Orlando experience in general for the Open Cup game was fantastic. Having nothing to do with the concession staff or many of the employees of whatever the Purple Place is called. However, I will say I quite enjoyed the majority of the security staff, especially when they were telling us how much better we were than the people they usually have to deal with. So that was fun. And I'm infinitely apologize for any person who may have looked like me that may have deposited a sticker on or about the facility as we left. Statute of limitations is like 2 weeks on that, right? We're good. I'm good. I'm clear.
I mean, it was against the traveling supporter instructions to not put stickers on the stadium. But, you know, if it happened, oops.
It was a gust of wind. I have no idea. It was a lot of fun. Like, wasn't totally surprised by the result. Felt like we could have gotten something out of it based on the way we had played, especially in the first half. Had just a fantastic time. It was a great way to spend the evening in the middle of the week. Followed up again. Not going to focus a lot on the results on the pitch because, man, it was looking okay for a while there against San Diego, but ended up having a ton of fun with the Soccer Crush crew that came into town, and we all got together, hung out, had dinner and drinks on Friday night. Spent a little bit of time beforehand together over at Corrigan's on Saturday, roped them into doing the pregame show on like an hour's notice. And that came off really well. Had a great time. We interviewed Sam Ishii from the Rowdies, who oversees the Little Rowdies program and some of the youth development stuff. Got to hear some of the some of the stuff that's coming up in the future. Got some details. I won't let them out there because then they won't give us any more details. And but there's some cool stuff coming. She talked about some of it, that they're going from, they're going to have little rowdies and now they're going to have junior rowdies, and they keep kind of building up to the academy side, which was there originally to build up to the senior team, which we got to see some of the players on the bench in a league game against San Diego. We got to see some of them play in the first Open Cup game. Because I'm just trying to block out everything and only focus on the happy stuff. That's what it is. Like, I'm not kidding you. I, you know, opened up the show notes today, and that's the first time I've looked at the standings in forever. And I was like, oh, boy, we're pretty far down there. That's not a fun place to be.
Well, the good news is, and this was something we talked about here, because we're not going to be focusing on the past so much tonight. Tonight's show is going to be about the future. And what we need to do, where we stand, what does the schedule look like, maybe the highlights for the rest of the year. And the biggest thing is this. Are the Rowdies exactly where they want to be right now? Obviously not. Everybody wants an undefeated team, but, you know, realities set in. We knew this was going to be a tough stretch, and just not losing the season in the first third was going to be the goal, because we knew this was an absurd stretch of games to start the year. Here's the biggest and most number one important thing that you need to remember as a Tampa Bay Rowdies fan right now. The Rowdies are in a playoff position. As it stands, they're above the playoff line and are presently in complete control of their own destiny.
So that, we're doomed.
That is the number one most important thing. The season has maybe not gone to plan, but it hasn't gotten out of hand yet.
Allow me to interrupt. Was that you sounding like optimistic and positive?
Yep.
To quote a wise man, a learned scholar, a gentleman...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
What the hell?
I freaking knew it. I totally freaking knew you were going to say that. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Yeah, it. Look, I know it looks dreary. It's fine. It's fine. We talked about this. We went through the results. Like I said, absolutely 100%. The 2-hour show on Sunday that's up there right now is going to give you all the answers as to why we came to that conclusion and some of the individual thoughts here. Tonight is about Sunday night. Because on Sunday night, the Tampa Bay Rowdies come off of their nice long break. Glass half full. Yes. Matt, you want to say something? Let me get to you here before I go any further. What do we got?
If you're taking over the glass half full seat, and this, you know, I know, is this part of some like Stranger Things promotion you're doing, like the Steven and the Upside Down? I'm going to have to just, I guess, slide over to the glass half empty pessimist viewpoint and say, that all sounds great, but all I saw this week is that they're playing baseball at Al Lang again. That's where we are right now.
The Tampa Bay Rowdies are going to Phoenix. And for the second time in 2 years, which should be the third time in 3 years, but we're not going to go there. The second time in 2 years, we're going to go play Phoenix in regular season game. And it's an ESPN2 national broadcast. It'll air locally at 9 o'clock at night. This is going to be a massive game for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Massive game. We've got tons of rest. We've had the ability to recoup maybe potentially some injuries. Maybe. But this is going to be the leapfrog, hopefully, for the going into the rest of the season. It's essentially speaking, the season starts again today. Is very much what this feels like, this big long break that we have had. It's what it kind of feels like. And there's a lot about Phoenix that's going to be interesting about this match. So let's kind of, instead of doing the preview of the opponent to end the show, let's do the preview of the opponent to start the show. So Phoenix Rising, obviously still coached by Rick Shantz.
I'm kidding. Well, slightly.
You know,
all right, go ahead.
You know, I mean, let's be real, right? Let's be real about this. Ben Wilcox, who's been a groundskeeper for the club for many, many, many years, has now moved on. He's gotten he got himself an education, you see, and he got himself a different job. The moment he walks away, what do they start doing? Throwing javelins on the grass. You know, the moment he walks, they start playing golf.
What do you think? Do you think Ben's first reaction was, "What the heck?" Heck being the word ending in CK that I was looking for, or not my problem anymore.
I hope it was lol. That I hope is the answer. I hope the answer was just lol. Ugh. Yeah. All right. So Phoenix Rising, coached by Rick Shantz, has been a dominant team for years in USL, specifically, of course, the Western Conference. All of that effort, of course, has never translated to a league trophy, but they've certainly won their share of Western Conference titles in that time and certainly made Western Conference appearances over and over again, not to mention, of course, dominating the regular season. Their last match out played a very, very solid and good San Antonio FC squad. And they proceeded to dominate them and absolutely pounded them 3-0. It was like, that was a very, very big win for them because they had just come off of a rather embarrassing flip result, a 3-0 loss to LA Galaxy 2. That after going down like super early in that match, they picked up a red card. Darnell King, in fact, picked up a red card for violent conduct, and they just were never able to get back into that match.
And that was a straight red. Is that going to have an impact on this weekend's game?
You know, it's a great question. You know, the best place to go to answer that question would probably be the USL website to go and access the disciplinary report on a weekly basis to see the updates on lengths of suspensions and who's available from one week to the other. And, you know, you and I tried to do that. We tried to go in and look, but there's one problem.
July 13th, 2021. That's the last time anything tagged discipline report was posted on USLChampionship.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, USL, can you kind of like, you know, do the thing, list the disciplinary report, so that way, you know, people kind of can talk about things and know things that should be public information. Why are we hiding what the length of a suspension is? I don't get it. That is really weird to me. So yes, Darnell King gets a red card, straight red, against LA Galaxy 2 games ago. And then Phoenix center defender, And I, you gotta forgive me on this, because the name is not a Western name. I'm assuming the N is silent and it's pronounced G. I'm gonna take a guess at that. He was a substitute, not necessarily like a normal starter per se, because he came in as a sub against the Galaxy. He got himself a double yellow in their last match. So they are definitely down one guy, maybe two, coming into this match this weekend.
I guess it's going to depend on what exactly the violent conduct was, because I just picked a random article on from the discipline report section from USL's website. From this was from week 8 of last year. San Antonio's FC Santiago Patino was suspended for 3 games following his red card for violent conduct. However, Colorado Springs FC's Michael Edwards was suspended for 1 game for his red card for violent conduct, as was Sacramento Republic FC's Dan Casey, red card for violent conduct. Miami FC, Bolu Akinyode was suspended for 1 game for his red card. So they don't say whether those red cards were the result of a second yellow, which is typically the 1-game suspension. I always thought the straight red was a 2 or a 3.
It depends. It depends entirely on what. So red card suspensions are dictated primarily by the referee's match summary report and what the referee basically writes down as the reasoning for the red card. And depending on essentially the written language used in the eyes of the official, and then obviously at the professional level, you then compare that against the video of the event, will dictate the lengths of the suspensions involved. So it's there's actually like very little set procedure to that. Typically speaking, double yellows are almost always 1 game and 1 game only. I don't know if I've ever heard of a situation where a double yellow ends up in more than a 1-game suspension, but yeah, straight red cards can be all over the place. So yeah, like I said, there's no way to know, not without the USL delivering reports.
The way it was written up in the game recap on USL's website was visitors were reduced to 10 men in the 36th minute when Darnell King was sent off for an off-ball incident behind the play.
Cool.
Don't say what it was.
One of those kids really ticked him off.
Yeah, probably the Mexican U-20 kid that had 2 assists in the first half. In the first 15 minutes. And then scored the third goal.
Right. So some individual players. Obviously, they're going to be missing G. They're going to be missing, you know, Darnell King, maybe. Let's look at some other players here. So their leading goal scorer at the moment is Greg Hurst, 4 goals on the year, and also Luis Seijas with 4 goals on the year. Hurst is the leading shot taker with 16 shots on the year. Who's the man feeding them the ball? Well, it's Aidan Quinn, center midfielder, infamous around the league as being easily one of the best center midfielders in USL today. He has 3 assists on the year off of 28 chances created. Their goalkeeper is another legend, Ben Loon. 31 saves on the year, 3 shutouts. Has been around the league a bit. He is definitely, again, he's another player that would be a fantastic starter just about anywhere, literally just about anywhere he goes in USL, and probably could start most MLS matches, I would bet.
And we saw him, I believe, pictured in preseason training with the Rowdies this year.
Yes, I believe that was the case. He happened to be in town and had trained with us for like a week or two or something like that while he was here.
So we got a whole sleeping with the enemy situation now. He's got everything. That's it.
Lol. So, as far as expectations for this week, now there's obviously 2 trains of thought to how you handle a big long break like this. Is it better or is it worse for a team trying to get themselves kind of back on track, kind of getting the morale up from a tough stretch? Does it play to your advantage or does it play to your disadvantage? I think based on the themes, do you want to just go with the theme that we got here, that I'm glass half full and you're glass half empty, or do you want to do something, switch it up on this segment?
I mean, I could try and go with the glass half empty point of view, but personally, I'm very much this team needed a break.
Yes.
They needed to rest, needed to get away from it for a little bit. They'd had a kind of a long run of games there, including some midweek games. There was what, like four games in basically 2 weeks. They needed a break.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to play through this at some point, but this was the ideal time for a break. Wasn't the ideal way to go into it, but it was the ideal time for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think that this was the perfect timing for us too. And I think that, you know, we've always talked about, you know, the segments of seasons and what you're trying to do. It was something, you know, that we started talking about. We've mentioned it for years, right? First third of the season, you're basically just scraping points. Middle third, you're trying to make sure you've got your formations and tactics down. And you know if you're worth your salt by the end of the year. The end third, you should have your system down. And if you're worth your salt, you're pushing for upper tier playoff positioning or you're just trash. And, like, on a good year, that's essentially what you're trying to do. So we've scraped together points. Now it's time to make sure that we're actually the team we think we are. And the middle third of the season will certainly answer that question. There are some potential injury concerns still. We've clearly not seen Sebastian Dalgard on a game day roster in several weeks. We know that Lewis Hilton came out against the Memphis game and was seen in a boot on the sidelines last time we saw the boys at San Diego, or hosting San Diego. So that's two potential question marks. We haven't heard anything as far as any kind of major updates on, like, for instance, if Castellanos is anywhere near, like, how long it will take for him to be able to rehab back into the bench, since obviously he's not going to go straight into the starting 11. But we don't know the circumstances behind Castellanos. So the roster is a bit thin, potentially, depending on how you know, if those guys were able to recoup the injuries and whatnot. You know, that's some nervous, you know, things to think about here. And Phoenix is absolutely a tough matchup. Without question, Phoenix is going to be a tough matchup.
Especially at home.
Especially at home. Yeah, 100%. It's going to be interesting. So Phoenix, looking at Phoenix, Phoenix has had a couple of different formations that they run. They're usually very aggressive no matter what. So, like, against San Antonio, they ran a 4-3-3, but against, like, LA Galaxy, it was more like a 4-2-3-1. So, you know, it can vary a little bit depending on how many midfielders they think they need, depending on the opponent. But typically speaking, it's Aiden Quinn in the middle, and he's pretty much just dominating the middle. And they can very easily do a quick break up top. Greg Hurst and Sijas are fantastic. But the other name that's worth mentioning, of course, is Marcus Epps, who hasn't necessarily been able to get on, you know, the record sheet for matches very often, but has a lot of quality to his name. Has been around U.S. soccer for a while. Most people that follow the sport pretty intently know who he is. That's going to be a massive question mark. That's going to be a massive battle, especially since he essentially plays as a left mid, or he can switch. So it's not necessarily fixed in a left mid spot, but he is absolutely a force to be reckoned with that the Rowdies will have to make sure that we have a way to counteract in this match. And I think for me, the battle's going to be where is Marcus Epps and how are we handling him? I think the entire game will end up being and coming down to just that.
Especially if Darnell is out. I think Epps is, you know, there's guys like Santi Moore and some other players on that team that are very talented and very important. But if Darnell's going to be out for this, I think a guy like Epps is going to take on even more significance in terms of just on-field leadership as well, too.
100%. And you know, because, you know, we're looking at this game, right? So they're going to be down they've got a center defender that option that they don't have available for them, potentially an outside back option they don't have available for them, keeping in mind that that didn't really slow them down against San Antonio, who's by all means a fantastic match. So it kind of speaks to the depth that the Phoenix roster has, which I don't know of anybody that would necessarily have doubted that to begin with, but, you know, you still got players like Santi Moore, but we know, you know, we know some of the quantifiables, right? We know Quinn is amazing. We know Santi Moore is really good. We know Marcus Epps is fantastic. We know Ben Lunt is a great goalkeeper. Like, these are guys that are absolutely, like, nameable figures in lower division soccer. So it's, I think for me, it's going to be like how, where, which matchup is the worst for the Rowdies? And again, Marcus plays on either side of the field. And I think that's where a lot of this is going to end up coming down. Because I don't think the Rowdies are going to be surprised by the other names. They're going to know and focus on the other guys. And I think the Rowdies can absolutely shut those guys down. I think the Rowdies defense, with the extra bit of rest, with a team that's been very kind of hobbled together on the back line, I think that goes a long way to getting prepared for Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm actually while you're saying that, reminded me that our buddy John over at USL Tactics, who I've also been tweeting with over the last few minutes, put out this giant like 70-page Google Doc about offensive and defensive systems for each team, and I was just trying to pull up real quick and see if there's any kind of thing in there to look at. So, what he says in terms of Phoenix, traditionally married to a 4-3-3 as pictured, 2022's Phoenix, willing to experiment around the base shape. Kevon Lambert now anchors the defense, and Luis Cejas, who you'd mentioned, is the flexible central pivot. Counter pressure still generates joy in the valley, but the side is now more willing to sit back, compress the pitch, and strike through rapid counters. That kind of worries me because that seems to be what the Rowdies have had trouble dealing with all season so far, is exactly that kind of setup. On attack, they have played kind of a 3-2-5 shape in the past, but now with the ball, kind of a 2-4-4 going forward with some of their attackers. The strikers are expected to hold play in transition, provide a threat in the box, opening late center mid runs and wing action. Meanwhile, on defense, high fullback closing and fullback straying to ignite counter pressure caused the main defensive holes for Phoenix. When settled, their shape is similar to a 4-1-4-1 with an active denying core. As we've seen, and we've seen this for a couple years, not so much in the last two, these kind of teams that are willing to sit back and absorb the pressure are what have given Tampa Bay fits. And we've seen it this year. I don't know if the answer is some strategy tweaks, some different guys in different positions, or coming out with a different lineup. I mean, not different lineup, but like a different formation. There obviously aren't additions being made to the roster, at least that anyone has told us about. The team is what it is, and it's about finding a way to be successful with the guys they've got. And I don't know that continuing to do what we have done the last few games is going to be the way that gets us there.
You know, that was something we talked about pretty much at length here, talking about what's going on. On the flip side, I believe the team is exactly where they need to be. And a lot of the things that you're seeing are not necessarily tactical issues, but more or less personnel issues. And that was something we knew was going to be a problem going into the year because, you know, losing Jordan Doherty and losing Forrest Lasso, the replacement players that we currently have for those two spots don't do things the same way. Like, the formation's the same, and the tactics are supposed to be the same, but some of their gut instincts aren't, they're not built in the same fashion for what they tend to do. So, like, on the flip side, like, my opinion is that the actual, we're doing exactly what we should be doing, and we just need to do it a little bit better. We just need to execute a little bit better, and that the tactics are fine in that sense. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, where the club is at the moment, and a lot of it is we're underperforming on attack when it comes to expected goals scored versus what we've actually scored, and we're also double the league average for goals allowed above the expected goals allowed. So teams are finishing at like a really, really high mark against us far greater than what should be the average. And then on the flip side, we're not quite scoring as many as we're creating. But if those two things balance out, this team is solidly in the top tier. So I think some of that's just a little bit, it's making your own luck. You know, you talk about that a lot in sports, that when you get on a good stretch, sometimes things just start bouncing your way. A couple of calls start going your direction, and all of a sudden, you know, an iffy season or a decent season suddenly becomes just excellent. And it's just, sometimes it's random like that. And I think right now that's the thing the Rowdies are just missing. Because we've shown repeatedly during the season, like, there are games when it looks like we're out there just practice. It's like, oh, it's just like a practice. And it's like just schoolboy soccer, and we're just toying around with the opponent. And then there are other games where it's just like, this isn't soccer. What are we doing? So, okay. Maybe I'm being harsh. I don't think there's ever been a game where we've looked at the Rowdies and gone, wow, that's bad at all this season. Maybe I was a bit harsh for the moment there.
This season, no. Like, I can think of some in long ago seasons past where it's like, if we could just complete three passes in a row, this would be an improvement. It may feel like it because we've been especially spoiled by the last few years of results and methodology and whatever else. And you know, like you said about making your own luck, like, eventually both of these things are going to regress to the mean. The chances and the opportunities that Rowdies do have are going to start to go in. They are going to start to play better defensively. Just statistically, it's just, I'll just be happier when we get there.
Exactly.
When we get there.
So,
and this is going to be a tough test. I mean, This is, Phoenix has been, and it's one of those, you know, we talked about, I forget who it was earlier on in the season, but Phoenix is another one of those all or nothing teams.
Yeah.
They've won six games and they've lost three games. And it feels like they've lost more than three based on some of the results, because some of the results have been kind of shocking, like losing 3-0 to LA Galaxy 2. The San Antonio team, they beat 3-0. They lost to 2-0 earlier in the season in San Antonio. They've only won one road game this year in Vegas at the start of the season, which you might in years past have tended to written that one off. But Vegas turns out to be maybe, I don't want to say pretty good, but they're a lot better than they have been. So that's something that they can, you know, not just chalk it up as an automatic win for that one. They've been very strong at home. But in years past, and this is a thing that I have seen in, you know, across coaches, across rosters or whatever, when the Rowdies get backed into a corner and look like they really on paper have no reason to expect to get a result, they go get a result. And, you know, without having gone to training for the last couple of weeks or any of that kind of stuff and known what's going on, that's kind of what we have to hang our hat on. But I've seen that before many times that I'm willing to go, okay, let's do it.
So let's do a prediction real quick for this match. I think the Rowdies are doing great with a 1-1 draw. I think it's a tight match. I think both teams basically play this thing basically split even. It's going to be a wide open match. Both teams are going to be trying. It's on ESPN2. Both teams are going to be trying desperately to get the 3 points. And I think ultimately both teams end up falling short of that effort. 1-1 draw.
I'm supposed to be the glass half empty guy, right?
I mean, it's not like required. I mean,
two-1 Tampa Bay.
So in other words, you're copying the score from the last time the Rowdies played Phoenix.
And it may not be the result of you know, a tactical masterclass or something. It could be one of these. I forget what the game was last night, but there was a goal scored in I believe it was an Open Cup game where the keeper pushed it onto the crossbar. It bounced off the crossbar, hit one of the defenders in the back of the head, and then went straight back into the goal. Like, it might be something just bizarre like that. But you know what? The last time I went to Al Lang, yeah, we lost a game in heartbreaking fashion late. But you know what I saw? I saw Seba Guinzadi hit that volley goal that he's been trying to get all season just before the end of the first half. And I saw the way that the players and the coaches reacted. And I saw everybody just, you know, almost carrying him off the field at halftime. Like, he was aching to get that first goal. He got it. It didn't lead to a flurry of goals in the second half, unfortunately, but I believe he's going to turn it on now. Like, the guy is the captain for a reason, and it's not just because he scores, you know, 17 goals a game. He's got one. He's got the confidence. He's one away from tying the record. Two away from breaking it. Could he break it in Phoenix? I'd prefer to see him do it at home, but I'd prefer to see him do it sooner rather than later also. So if he goes ahead and does it on the road, I'm good with that too. I have no other reason to chalk it up to other than it feels like it's time. It feels like it's time to get a win. And a win that gets the season back on track.
And I think that's a good thing too, right? Because if you get a win and other results, you know, swing your way, we go to 16 points on the table. That's good enough, tied for fourth. Say if Memphis loses, for example, like if Memphis, Indy, and Miami all lose their next game and we get 3 points, we're actually in fourth because the goal differential would have to swing that way. So, you know, like a win would be really, really, really cool. Again, we talked about this on our last episode, the Sunday podcast. Louisville at this point, it's their conference to lose when it comes to the first place seed. Mm-hmm. It's not really a controversial take, but the way the playoffs work, first place gets a bye week, and then second through seventh play each other in the first round. So that means 2, 3, and 4 have a home match. 5, 6, 7 are the traveling teams. At this point, a third of the way through the year, seeing how the third of results worked, you're basically now aiming for one of those second through fourth positions. That's pretty much what you're aiming for. Really, nobody's going to get first. I don't even think Pittsburgh at this point could catch Louisville. I mean, at this point, Louisville would have to literally fall off a cliff to end up, like, basically not in a first seed.
And I'm okay with that.
I mean, in a very safe way, not actually talking about physical violence, yes.
Well, I didn't say push them, but if they fall, pull them.
Yeah, like I said, we're aiming at this point for like a second through fourth finish. That's the goal. If we can get to four is an important number. You know, the teams ahead of us, like Tampa Bay Rowdies and Louisville both have 10 games played. Every other team in between that, all five teams have 1 to 2 games in hand on both clubs. So the gap is seemingly bigger than just say 2 or 3 points. It's potentially 5 or 6, depending on how results swing. So at this point, just getting to fourth is kind of an achievement right now, all things considered. So in a lot of ways, the middle third of the season, that's almost the goal. We want to be in fourth by the time we get to game 20 in the schedule. 20, 21, 22. Like, we want to be in that fourth spot. Because at that point, once you're there, the last third of the season, you're basically aiming for the number two spot. And that's kind of the progression of how you kind of approach things at the moment, in my mind.
Look, we claimed the unawarded regular season champion trophy last year. We've claimed the Eastern Conference regular season champion. We've got back-to-back Eastern Conference final champions. The only trophy really left that matters that we're in contention for is USL Cup. So how we get there, I'm not as worried about it. Like, sure, winning, ending up with the best record would be a great story, whatever. Like, just let's get in the playoffs, get to the home games, and we'll get there from that point. But something you mentioned about, you know, the Rowdies having played several games and fixture congestion having been a real thing. Here's another reason. I'm going to try and give one logical reason why the Rowdies win on Sunday is because we might be out of the Open Cup, but you know who isn't? Phoenix. They're playing tonight at 10:30 against Sacramento Republic. That's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a fun game to see what they do in terms of lineup selection. Might have to tune in and watch a little bit of that one, and we'll see how that turns out. Speaking of that, because that's kind of somewhat related to some of the listener questions we got, you want to run through those real quick before we wrap up?
So yeah, let's do that a little bit here. There was one particular response to that from our friends at Soccer Crush.
Oh, I was going to save that one for last.
You want to save that one for last intentionally? Okay, let's do that one intentionally last. All right. Sorry,
one,
ladies.
I think is one we're going to have to like swap and trade answers on and see what our lists are.
See, I want to make sure for the record, since this is live and it will be on the podcast, I'm not editing it out. Ladies, I put you first. I was ready to jump into your questions first. I want to make sure that's stated for the record.
Number one, I'm saving the best for last, and I put them first when it counted, which is when they were in town.
You would throw that in my face.
I'm
at home sick as a dog to make sure that nobody else gets the crappy, crummy whatever it was I had.
All right, we do have quite a few from, speaking of some of our friends out there in the Rowdies universe, or at least the Unsubs Patreon universe. From Patrick in Louisville, who has said some other things that I'm not going to repeat on the air because just
blasphemy. You know. Yes.
Yeah. Number one, who are you following on the Open Cup now? I'll be honest. I had to go pull up the matches to see who was still in. I'll go since I can tell you a thing about it. I'm going for as lower level as I can. I'm interested to see how Union Omaha and the Northern Colorado Hailstorm game is going to go. I'd like to see either one of those advance, but probably it'd be more fun if Colorado pulled that one out.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to go that direction, right? I mean, so many of those teams. I mean, obviously, we're broadcasting here tonight live. You know, South Georgia's already out.
Yep.
You know, Detroit City's already out. But, you know, curse words are bad, so we don't like them anyways or something. I don't know. There's a narrative involved with all that. Nobody likes Louisville, so we're not doing Louisville.
Did you see the Charlotte-Richmond game? Charlotte FC, Richmond Kickers?
Oh, well, yeah, that game ended the way about it was supposed to, you know.
But Charlotte took the early lead. Richmond equalized. A minute later, they gave up a second goal, and I turned my head to sneeze for a second and turned back, and it was 4-1, and it ended 5-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have a goalkeeper that's 4'2", that's kind of what happens when you play an MLS team. All right, sorry, frog in my throat. I'm not going for, the MLS Next Pro team. You know, I'm not cheering for Rochester. That's just not happening. There's not a lot of great options out there right now. Like, I mean, it's for a neutral, that is. I mean, outside of the Union Omaha Northern Colorado winner. Yeah, I'm pretty much there with you. That's the team I'm following at this point. It's whoever wins that match.
Yeah, I think that's it. Currently in second or first half stoppage, still level at 0-0. 8 minutes of stoppage in the first half. Fun to see what happened there.
That's cool.
Next up from Patrick, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? My answer, can the woodchuck play center back? We could use the extra bodies for depth, if nothing else. Can the woodchuck play center back?
Can the woodchuck chop enough wood to help the Russians build pontoon bridges over the Donets River without them getting blown up instantly? I'm sorry. That's a military political joke. Shouldn't be on the show. Sorry, another frog in the throat. was that dial pad breaking up? I didn't hear that audio. You cut out.
You're getting sick there again.
Yeah, you know, weird delusions in my head now. That's weird.
Secondly, you might have better answers for this than me, although this is kind of the area that I'm used to in the area. Patrick's coming in town for the Rowdies Louisville game in June. Where should he go to eat for his trip? He's staying in St. Pete across from the stadium and not renting a car, so walkability is preferred. Like, my go-to, I'm going to say, the place I love going is Casita Taqueria. However, not very walkable from, like, the Al Lang area.
So,
especially in June temperatures.
So our friends at Soccer Crush would be very, very helpful because they got 1.5 million different submissions while they were asking a similar question about that. I know for me personally, my post-game favorite match is Ford's Garage because their estate burger is to like absolutely die for, and it's like the best thing ever for a cheeseburger. The other thing is, from what I understand, within walking distance, that's open late would be Focheesi's. If you wanted to do like kind of a light grilled cheese type option.
Oh, but it's not just after the game. There's also like I think 3 meals the next day, like all 3 meals, and then maybe breakfast the next day after that. So I'm gonna throw a couple out there. Just thinking about this, from the Hangar over there at the airport, supposedly has really good food. I've not been in there, but lots of people who especially live in the area say.
Sure.
But breakfast, get over to Second and Second.
Ooh,
God, I love you.
Good call. And for that matter, Mary Margaret's is another fun place to go for some morning footy and fun.
True, true, true. And there's always Corrigan's. We can't overlook Corrigan's.
100%.
I do enjoy the bangers and mash. I'm good there. I'm digging. Oh yeah, he said dinner Friday, all day Saturday, lunch Sunday. You might have to make an exception and make that a breakfast Sunday and go over to Second and Second. I'm just saying. That is, now I kind of want to go to Second. All right.
You talked yourself into it.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, honestly. The place is good. I think that brings us to Soccer Crush's list. So, Yes. If I can find it once again. Gosh darn it.
I have it.
You got it there in front of you?
Yes, I do.
All right, I got it.
Fine.
All right. Which player makes the best playlist?
CJ,
to me, this one,
CJ Cochran.
I'm going Lawrence Weick. He's a DJ.
I mean, yes, but I don't think I would appreciate the type of music that he plays, so I'm going with CJ Cochran and taking a stab at that.
Okay. Has the best shoe collection?
Leo Fernandez.
Ooh, okay. I was going to say Jan Ekra.
A fair shout.
Like boots or just overall, like someone's got some Yeezys, someone's got some Dunks, someone's got some, you know, they're getting all the stuff off the sneakers app.
Depends
on what kind of shoe we're talking about.
You do.
I know you have no idea what I'm talking about.
You do understand. You just threw a lot of words that have, I'm sure, a lot of meaning and designation to them. That to me, shoes are shoes, and I'm just thinking the most stylish person on the field is probably Leo Fernandez.
I mean, that's pretty much my method of teaching. I just throw a bunch of stuff out there and overwhelm them with things that they think that sound important. Is the best cook? Previous years, obviously, this would have been, I think, Forrest Lasso. Who's the best cook?
Yeah, but was that Forrest Lasso or was it his partner? I don't know who was the cook there.
Ends up in front of me. I usually don't really care about who it is, who originally did it. I'll give him credit. I'm going to say... best cook. I'm gonna say Lucky. I think Lucky's got some skills in the kitchen.
Hmm.
I think I remember hearing about this at some point too, which is why I'm going there.
See, for me, I would think This is actually where I would go with Jan Ekra. That would be my guess.
Okay. Okay. Who would let you drive their car? I love this one. I have an answer that seems very obvious to me.
I mean, would let you drive their car? I mean, everybody would let me drive their car. I never drink, so you never have to worry about anything. I could literally drive anybody's car. I don't think there's a person on the planet that wouldn't say, hey, Steven, can you drive me home? Yeah, I've got you. I mean, I'm not trying to be that kind of guy. I'm just saying.
Who would just let you their car, kind of moments notice, no questions asked, hey, I need a car for one reason. Who on the team? I'll tell you who it is. It's the guy who, just based on social media presence, his presence is probably the nicest guy around. It's Kyle Gregg.
See, I was gonna go like something basic as like Juan Tejada.
I am saving Juan Tejada for another one, and there's only one left, so it should be pretty easy. Steven, which one of the rowdies would be the perfect boyfriend?
Oh, man. Sebastian Guinzotti.
I'm going Juan David Tejada.
Fair enough.
I'm going Juan David Tejada.
All right. So tonight was about looking ahead. Tonight was about kind of having fun after the big long episode we had this past week, or past weekend. Let's take a look at something here. So we've got the schedule coming up. Phoenix on Sunday.
Tonight was about fun because I was here and I'm the fun one.
Exactly. So obviously you've got Phoenix on Sunday. We're going to play Pittsburgh at home a week from Saturday.
Finally get to go back to Al Lang.
Yay. Then you've got matches on the road in Tulsa. So at this point, the season gets pretty consistent for a while, where it's pretty much you're never playing more than one game in a row at home or on the road for a while. It's not until July that you see two back-to-back. In this case, they turn up as road games first. So it's on the road Tulsa, home Louisville, on the road Miami, home Charleston, on the road Pittsburgh, home Memphis. You know, you're going back and forth throughout this whole thing. It's important to note the Wednesday match, June 1st, away to Tulsa, is the last basically like the second to last midweek game that we have all season. Because after that, the next Wednesday night game we play is in September. So that match against Tulsa a couple weeks from now, about 3 weeks from now, is the last Wednesday night game that we have to worry about. That means that we don't have to reschedule the podcast like at all for the rest of the year, because that September game happens to also be a home game. So that means that literally Wednesday is the only last opportunity. Maybe we should do a live show somewhere 3 weeks from now.
We might be able to do that.
That might not be a bad option. June, school year's over, right? Yeah, maybe. Maybe we should do something. All right. So yeah, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Tulsa, Louisville, Miami. I mean, you got some pretty good games coming up here. What is the highlight game for the rest of the season for you here, or at least in the next couple weeks? What game do you think is the most important coming up?
Oh, gosh.
And give it like 6 or 7 games in advance. Like give yourself a good stretch of selection here. What do you think is, what game do you think is going to be like a win or a loss on this week in this moment of time is going to be super important for the Rowdies at that point in the season.
All right, so I'm going to look ahead at the next one, two, three. Four. I'm going to look ahead at the next six games because after that is a return trip to Pittsburgh, and we start repeating some of the games that we had in here. Okay. So it's the games I'm looking at are this Sunday, Rowdies at Phoenix, followed by Rowdies at home versus Pittsburgh, then to Tulsa, at home versus Louisville, on the road to Miami, which I think I need to try and go to that game, and then at home versus Charleston. So we've got a nice little pattern going here. Part of me wants to say the most important game is the next one because we need to get a result. But let's face it, like as big as the Phoenix game is and has been the last couple seasons because of the circumstances around the final not happening and then getting that return game last season and getting the win there, that's big. But when you look at the route, anytime you look at the Rowdy schedule, to me, especially the last couple years, there's nothing bigger than Rowdy's Louisville at Al Lang. It's always a significant match in terms of the standings. You're going to have a good traveling fan section. I mean, Charleston usually sends some fans. Pittsburgh, I don't think really has. But to me, that Rowdy's Louisville game, like, you know, we've got three games before then to try and get back on track a little bit. And that's going to be kind of a bellwether, a litmus test, and all other kinds of cliche. That's a measuring stick game right there. It's get out the yardsticks, make a marker on the wall, and see how you compare to the other guy. Drop what you got on the table and see where everyone is standing.
For me, it's the week after that. Because I'm not expecting much against the Louisville game in the context of Louisville's just been stupid good, and if we can get a draw, that'd be great, but I'm not expecting a win there. The Miami game, I think when you look at, you know, you look at predictions, right? Like Phoenix, Pittsburgh, Louisville are three of your next four matches. Draws against them would not be terrible. You might probably pick up at least one loss in those out of those three. So, I mean, more than likely, right? Like probably just law of averages. You're probably going to go 1-1-1 during those games. The Tulsa game, you've got a legit chance for 3 points. That's a game we probably should expect to hopefully, you know, pull a result from. Miami, I think, is like everything at that point. We're going to be back into a groove, playing games on a pretty systematic basis again. The whatever weird conundrums come from having the big break that we had in May are going to kind of start leveling themselves out by the time you get to the middle of June. Miami has always been a thorn in the side opponent for the Tampa Bay Rowdies for a couple seasons now. They're a team that we are fighting for seeding in the playoffs right now. So I think for me, that's going to be a massive bellwether test to see if the Rowdies are competing for a top four finish or if we're just going to be basically, fighting for a playoff spot in general. I think you're going to know a lot about how the Rowdies are looking after Saturday, June 11th.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I can't argue with that. Well, shall we wrap this up?
Yes, we should wrap it up just like something that you would get at Taco Bus. Taco Bus, proudly delivering a healthy, fresh, and authentic Mexican taste experience to our Florida fans. Just one bite of a burrito, tostado, or quesadilla, and your taste buds will be singing traditional Mexican folk songs. Visit us today at one of our 11 locations, and remember to keep it Chido. All right, Matt. So we're at the end. Let's wrap up. Do we have a We Love You shout that you want to give out there after all the weeks that you haven't had an opportunity to do a We Love You shout? Who's your We Love You?
As usual, I cannot limit this to like one or even one person or even one group. Number one, though, is going to be all the folks on Patreon, because when the mixing board suddenly dies, as we're getting ready to go on air for a post game show, literally it was like, okay, no problem. We'll have a new one here in 2 days. Like, it took us longer for me to hand it off to you, because apparently I don't know how to select an address in Amazon when I order stuff. But literally, like, it took longer to do that. And that was like, I remember when Dan and I started this, it was like, holy crap, how are we going to afford a mixer? Like, that's when we were pre-selling scars for fundraisers. And it was like, come on, please, someone buy this. Two more scars and we can go get a board. So thank you for making, to all you guys for doing that. And then also, giant, massive, huge, we love you to Soccer Crush. Not that I expected anything different, but they were as cool as I was expecting them to be. We all were in their debt for being willing to hop on the pregame show. We had a ton of fun Friday night and Saturday. Just a great time all around, and are making plans for future trips to hang out and do that again, because it was just a lot of fun. They were extremely cool. We had a good time. It was just good. Everything was good. I was very happy with that weekend, despite the result.
My we love you is to Soccer Crush for always, always interacting with all of us, even when we let you down at times, because we pick up random germs and viruses and we can't end up seeing you when you're here finally, after years of talking about it. But we do, we love you guys. We appreciate the fact that you guys interact with us so much when we absolutely don't deserve it. And we can't wait to see you all again, for sure. Absolutely for sure. So, with that, thank you to Wolfface for the introduction music, Radio St. Pete Online for this lovely platform to host our live shows, Shamrock and Corrigan's for giving us the opportunity to do live on location shows every now and then. If you are listening to the show tonight, or if you're listening on the podcast, make sure you give us a share to your Rowdies, friends, and supporters. Give us a subscription. Give us a rating and review. That helps us with all the algorithms and everything. Word of mouth is the best way to get our name out there in case you're looking for some more in-depth Rowdies analysis. I will give a quick shout. It ain't going to be as in-depth as John Morrissey just put out.
You saw that.
But it's still pretty good, I think, in my opinion. If you want to take your dedication to the show, your love of the show to the next level, unquestionably, Patreon is the best place and the best way to do that. You could do a simple donation, $1 a month, goes a long way to helping us make sure that we can cover the cost of subscriptions and everything. I mean, we had that little snafu during the live broadcast tonight. Kind of gives you an idea. We're testing new things out all the time, and You never stop learning, and you never stop searching. If you want to take that dedication even further, we do have different levels of Patreon support. You could go as high as $10 a month. You could go higher than that if you want. You could become an executive producer level of the show, and we will shout your name on a rotational basis throughout the year. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. And if you are tired of the same old uniforms and cookie cutter templates from Nike and Adidas, and you're looking for a unique, completely custom kit for your youth club, Sunday league squad, adult pro team, maybe not a $200 jersey with a name on the back, but you know, something that's really unique and affordable, Icarus FC can help you create the kit of your dreams at an affordable price. Let them help you design your new custom kit today at IcarusFC.com. All right. So with that, we We'll see you guys around the interwebs. We will see you guys at watch parties if you're there, if we're there. You know how that goes. Sunday night, 9 o'clock, ESPN2, Tampa Bay Rowdies, Phoenix Rising. That's going to be a heck of a match. And we will see you all next week. Thankfully, because everything's now working again.
Now you jinxed it.
No, stop it. I didn't jinx it. I am confident. This is positive Steven tonight. This is glass half full Steven tonight. And you want to know something? Do you want to know something, Nick Murray and everybody at USL? I saw your glass half full, glass half empty comments on the Rowdies grading for the third of the way through the season recap article. I saw you using that phrase. Don't you think I missed that? I know where you got that from. It is not coincidence you use that on the Rowdies. Not coincidence, I say.
I have been jonesing for the opportunity to watch sports in downtown St. Pete. So this Saturday, let's just say Saturday morning, there's a certain event going on that I will be watching from, I believe I'm going to be up at Horse and Jockey Saturday morning. After just getting back at about 2 in the morning from Universal and a bunch of crazy sugar high eighth graders, and then going to the gym at 7, and then going up to St. Pete. And then I'm going to kill some time. I'm still like looking for some suggestions, because this thing is going to end around like 2 o'clock. And then I have tickets for the Rays game. The gates open at 4:40, and I would go like take a nap somewhere, but that means I would not wake up until way after the Rays game is ended. So if you happen to be in either of those places, I will see people there too.
All right. Well, friends, some family, and everybody else listening, thank you as always. We appreciate your support. Will we be back on a live show, we promise, next week? And again, as always, go Rowdies.